I will get down on this podcast mm-hmm. and kiss your feet okay. if the Pittsburgh Steelers make the playoffs.
Why would I even want that? Well, like, I would like, let's do something that I'd actually want. Like,
okay.
Kiss my curries.
Kiss my curries, presented by Under Armour.
Oh, yeah. What's up? It's Chris Sims Unbuttoned, brought to you by Under Armour. How is everybody doing? That's right. The regular season's in the books. It's playoff time. It's Ahmed Fareed time. He's here. What's up, dude? How are you?
What's happening?
Are you doing all right? Ahmed is like smiling. He doesn't know how to act right now. He's like, this is fucking weird. I know I want to bet, but I don't really care that I want it. But I'm having fun screwing with you on social media.
Yes.
And I can't believe we're saying it. I really can't. I thought about you all day yesterday. I mean, sitting there, what is it, 10-3 Ravens? Driving, right? Maybe it was 10-6 at that point. I'm thinking they're gonna put the game away. I'm not gonna worry about this anymore. Yep. Not gonna worry about it.
Throw a pick
in the end zone, and I'm going, oh my gosh, here we go. Okay, they're still alive. All right, they're still alive. I mean, the whole day. I mean, and of course the Colts and that debacle and that football game. So we got so much to talk about. We really do. A lot of great games, a lot of great storylines, and do you want me to kiss your feet now, or do you want me to wait until the Pittsburgh game?
This is what we're
going to
do. So Pete has thought about this.
Okay, it's been thought about?
We want to make you think. Not only were you thinking about it all day yesterday, we want you to think about it all throughout the pod. So the homies tweeted us all throughout the and homies out there.
They were great.
They remembered.
Yes.
They were making sure that we did not forget what you
like
said a few
too.
Weeks ago.
Good job by Adam Blackhall. Adam Blackhall. I like that, bro.
You're right. I should have worn dirtier shoes.
You should have worn some of like your shit kickers.
And,
like,
and then there
disgusting.
You go. So you've already said.
Mendy Donnan. Good Mendy one. Donnan. I like that. That's where I'm not going, Mendy.
So,
all right?
Yes.
I'm not licking any bottom of the shoe. All right? COVID's enough right now. You don't need to give me like some crazy strain like sickness of bathroom, who knows, germs and everything on the bottom of those shoes.
So Kristen came out here just a few minutes ago to set up the cameras, and now we have, and she has now taken the kiss cam. So don't do it yet. That will be at the end of the show. Chris
it's
will kiss.
It's at the end of the show? That's what we're doing?
Yeah, we're going to
you're
going to
make me wait the whole freaking show?
Exactly, yes.
What a bunch of jerks. What? I mean, we couldn't wait till at least just the Pittsburgh Ravens game?
Nope. End of the show.
Wow.
End of the show, however long that may take. So maybe we go longer.
I do like your hoodie today, just
Thank
to
you.
Let you know.
New hoodie.
Yeah, that's nice.
But I'm going to celebrate this. You know, I was apprehensive at first. I don't think I really wanted a guy to kiss my feet ever in my life.
But take your
especially
victories
a friend,
where you can get it.
But I'm going to celebrate it.
Yeah.
And I'm
going to
enjoy it.
Good.
Because the homies want to see it. And so that'll come at the end of the show. Chris will finally pay off the bet that he recklessly made mid-season.
It's amazing.
It's amazing that they made it. It is.
It's amazing. And it's Mike Tomlin. That's where I just want everybody to know. The fact that they can continue to fight, get knocked down, look not good, doesn't matter. We're going to come back next week, practice hard. We're going to come out and fight again on Sunday. We'll see how it plays out. That's him. It's, you know, he is truly that guy about like, no, you just keep fighting. That's the way he is. You might get knocked down. You're going to take your lumps, but we're going to get back up and keep fighting. And you could see that in their football team. And it showed, you know, a lot here through the last 5-6 weeks of the season.
So we'll get in depth on that game a little bit more. We'll go through all the games, maybe some not
all
as
the games,
in depth
yep,
as we have in the past.
Quick talk.
Quickly hit them because some of these games deserve a little bit more of our time. We'll talk about the coaching changes and the firings. Flores is out. That was a surprise. We'll talk about that when we get to the Dolphins game. Mike Zimmer is out, more expected. Nagy is out. Fangio, we knew that.
Yep.
So we'll get into those as we go through here. But let's start with Sunday Night Football in the craziest game that maybe I can remember just because of all the circumstances that surrounded it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
The talk of a tie and like, why don't teams just take a knee and do all that? Which, right off the top here, if they really had done that, right, just to snap the ball, taken a knee, or played to a tie, like, that was never going to happen.
No, it
was not.
Some people
are like, you
should
do that.
As much as the social media love that. But, I mean, the amazing thing is we almost got to that point a little bit in overtime where you're like, is this really going to happen? Are they going to kneel on the ball with, like, a minute and 50 seconds and just be like, it's a tie. We're both going to the playoffs. It was amazing how it all unfolded. You literally – I think Collinsworth said it right. Like, if you showed him the script of the movie or whatever, you'd just be like, this is too much. This isn't real. This is not going to really happen in a game. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. This is not a realistic movie. I'm going to walk out of the theater. That's the way it felt a little bit. You know, I mean, three quarters, the game was kind of like, okay, you know, hey, yeah, the Raiders are winning. They're outplaying. Are they outplaying them? I don't really know if they're outplaying them, or is this a game of, like, we just didn't mess up and the other team did, and there's something to that. I mean, hey, listen, there's being in New England, that's, you know, part of the credo a little bit. Don't lose the game before it starts, or don't lose the game. You know, so there's that aspect, and that's really, like, as I was preparing for the Peacock show, I was kind of going, like, well, I mean, you know, you fumble a punt and you go for it stupidly on your own, down 3 points in the third quarter, and go for it on fourth and one on your own 19-yard line, and then the interception late in the fourth quarter by Herbert. I just want to know, that's how you lose a close one, or that's how you sit there and look at it and go, man, we're down by a touchdown, are going to lose it, and then all of a sudden just hell broke loose, and it just. Now, you can't even stand by what I was just about to say there, because overtime and the last two drives of fourth quarter were absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and you already mentioned a lot of what happened in this game.
Yeah.
But
I just broke down the simple parts of it.
The Raiders had motivation to win here, because a win for them means that they were at Cincinnati instead of at the Chiefs, and the Chiefs have totally obliterated them both times this year, right? And so they actually did have, I think, more motivation. The Chargers had literally nothing differentiating a tie from a win, because they were at Buffalo either way.
Right.
And so I did think at the end of the game in overtime there, I was like, the Raiders, I think they could have been a little more aggressive, because if they had turned it over late, I don't think the Chargers were doing anything in overtime. I think they were
content. They didn't care. They didn't care. They didn't have a matchup staring them in the face that said, oh, wow, we're not good against this team.
Right.
And I think that's the real question, right? Because I know we have a question here from at Coach Magnet, right?
Let's read it.
Right?
Just wondering, why didn't the Raiders let the clock run out instead of risking a potential field goal block, as they were in the playoffs with a tie anyway?
Right. So I think they were at a point there. Before Josh Jacobs had the last, 10-yard run up the middle, right? Where I think they were sitting there thinking about, oh, all right, should we kneel it? All right, let's just run the ball up the middle one more time.
Yes.
Okay. The Chargers called the timeout, which I know has become controversial. Doesn't really matter, everybody. The Raiders were going to run the ball no matter what.
Right.
They were going to run the ball. The clock had gone all the way down. You know, they didn't want to happen what happened, actually, even after the timeout, which then break a 10-yard run to now for the Raiders to go, oh, wait, risk, reward, all right, it's not that horrible now. Like, what's the chances, 47-yard field goal, getting blocked, return for a touchdown, anything crazy of that nature? The risk, reward, I think the reward far outweighed the risk at that point.
Totally.
So I understand that. And I think the point you're making is the point. I was actually saying this to some of the guys on our post-game show, because they were like, why don't they just kneel it? And I'm going, because they're staring at a matchup that they know is not good for them.
Yes.
If they had no other options, and it was just like, okay, wait, we're in a tough spot here. All right, fine, we're going to go to the playoffs. We're going to have to play the Chiefs. We haven't beat them this year. They've dominated us. But we beat them 2 years ago. We'll have to try to build off of that or something there. But if you can avoid that and going to a place and going to play a team that you know has a matchup issue, or you have a matchup issue against, you do avoid that.
Yes.
And I think that's why they did it. 10-yard run, okay, 47-yard field goal. We kick a field goal to win, go in the playoffs. And now we don't have to deal with a team that's a little bit of our kryptonite for this season. I think that's why you do it. I think it was completely the right decision.
Yeah, because I think they should have been more aggressive. Because after the game,
even before that,
totally. Because after the game, Bisaccia was like, "Yeah, we're thinking about maybe just playing for the tie there." And like you just mentioned, why? Because if you do turn the ball over the last couple minutes of overtime, Chargers aren't taking any risks. They have no reason to.
No, they really don't.
Why not try to make your field goal to get that Cincinnati matchup as short as possible? They ended up making it, didn't end up mattering. But you mentioned that the timeout from Brandon Staley.
Yeah, right.
The fourth and one at their own 18 in the second half.
That to me was just I don't understand that. Again, I mean,
he's under fire.
He's under fire. I understand what he's doing. He's going with that, but he should be under fire for that. It's a playoff football game. You're down by 3 points. We just kind of laid out that the Raiders' offense hadn't done anything, really. I mean, they had a short field touchdown drive after the fumbled punt by Roberts, right? They had that. They put together one legit drive, really, in the whole first half of the football game, right at the end of the first half, to go down and score a touchdown to go up 17-14. Your defense has been playing good. You know, so, and yes, and Pete points out on that touchdown drive that made it 17-14 was the absolute most fucking ridiculous pass interference call we saw in football this weekend.
Yeah, Zay Jones drew it in the middle of the end zone, even though the ball was.
This is where, like, again, this is where I will fight against the NFL and anybody that says, what are full-time refs going to do? Because this is where they lose common sense, and they're just not around the game enough. He's looking in his inside shoulder 50 yards down the field. Derek Carr throws a ball to the back left corner of the end zone. It's a 25-yard run from where he is, let alone he's got to turn and go there. And they call pass interference? I mean, that to me is just, again, that's a real issue in the NFL right now. It's got to get fixed. So, but my point is, why? Your defense has kind of done well. There's no signs of like, oh, no, you know, they're moving it on us. We got to go for it right here because if we don't keep pace, oh, no, we're in trouble. Yeah, I did not agree with that. Now, I understand all the fourth down conversions later. I've heard somebody on the talk radio go, well, they made all the fourth down conversions later. Well, they had no choice later. Mm-hmm. They had to go for it on fourth down. This was one where you had a choice. The game was still in balance. Those times where, no, you have to go for fourth or the game is over. There was no other way around it. But you live by the sword, die by the sword, and I got hurt by it a little
Does
yesterday.
Does it influence you at all that all the analytic models showed that going for fourth down there was the proper decision, including next-gen stats?
I've never seen where it's not the proper. That's what I'll Here's always what argue.
This is what I will say.
Yes.
I do think that it is possible that if you have an above-average offense, which you would call the Chargers an above-average offense,
right?
I do think it's possible that it does make sense to go for fourth and one specifically. Not fourth and four, not fourth and ten.
Yeah, but you're one of the bottom in the league in running the ball. You're going to run the ball up the middle.
I mean, that's...
That would be another issue I'd look at, right? You hadn't really played that well on your offensive side of the ball to that point either. Life was not easy. You kind of got to go in there. It got close in the first half where I went, oh, man, like Herbert's got to go and he's got to figure it out. Watch out. He's about to take over this football game. It did look like that. But, you know, then the game settled down and took like seven different right turns. So, again, I it's hard for me to argue. I don't know. You can never argue. I've never seen a number you can argue against in analytics. It's never been wrong. Every time it's, but do you know the analytics say it was right? And they were right. All I know is they lost by three. All right. And it was, 3 points there that put them in a chasing mode and didn't necessarily have to be that. That's all I would say.
But Justin Herbert was awesome.
What?
At the end of the game.
Yep.
As before we get into the Raiders and how awesome they were to win this game. But Justin Herbert, he deserved better. He deserved better this year. Everyone, I think, outside of Pittsburgh and Las Vegas wanted to see Justin Herbert in the playoffs. We're not going to get that. Maybe we will next year.
Yeah, well, he's definitely in that top five quarterback in football conversation. He is. Again, you saw it. We all saw it last night. He's definitely one of the best throwers of the football in all of the sport, no doubt. His arm's as strong as just about anybody. I mean, it's as strong as anybody. He can throw the ball as powerful as Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, any of the top arms in the sport. Maybe can't flick it the way a Mahomes and a Rodgers can or even a Josh Allen, but his pure power and then his pure ability, a little bit like, you know, a Big Ben in his prime, just to be in the pocket with people around him, and he's so big and he can throw over the top of people and people are hanging on him and it doesn't matter. Like even the 2-point conversion that cut the game to 7 points. I mean, he has that ball to Eckler out in the left, right? I mean, he's moving, nobody's open. Somebody hits him in the leg and he's just like, zoom. 2-point conversion on the money throw. Doesn't really matter. Star of our sport, really is. He's a superstar. And like the other thing too, I don't know if you noticed it, but like it just is he ever affected by anything? Is he ever affected by anything? It's just like, oh, it's 4th and 18. Oh, okay. Oh, you dropped the pass. He kind of looks at it like, how'd you drop that? All right, next play. Like he's got an amazing like calm attitude about him where you never see any flustered look on his face.
The game has been on his shoulders in the 2 years he's been in the league. Threw the ball 64 times in this game, career high in attempts, 383 yards. The final three scoring drives, basically all Herbert passes, except for that one Austin Eckler 4-yard touchdown run in overtime. But we will not see them in the postseason. The Las Vegas Raiders. Bisaccia, hats off to him, first interim coach ever to get his team into the postseason. And Derek Carr now will play in the first playoff game in his 8-year career. He was injured the last time the Raiders were there a few years ago.
Yep.
And I like Derek Carr. I'm a huge Derek Carr fan.
I get it.
I think he's underrated.
Yeah, he is.
And what a stabilizing force he's been for this team. What do you think about the Raiders postseason? Did you think that was possible?
No, I did not. If you would have asked me that again 5-6 weeks ago, maybe I'd be kissing some other body part on your body. I don't know. I probably would have been like, no, I just can't imagine. Not with all the things they've gone through.
Yeah.
The way they looked in some of the football games where you just went, like, they're not a playoff team. Listen, you heard me all year. I questioned whether the Chargers were a legit playoff team all year. I really didn't know. I just thought maybe it's Herbert making a lot of great throws, and that kind of made them look like they were a playoff team. But I was always on the fence with that. The Raiders, I mean, we got to that point of the year where they lost to the Giants, got killed by the Chiefs, got dominated by the Bengals. They won that game against the Cowboys. You went, oh, okay, that's a matchup. Looks good. Washington football team comes in, wins that football game, get dominated by the Chiefs again, play on the Monday night, right, against Cleveland with Cleveland's got the whole team out because of COVID, and they can barely beat the Browns. You're just going, man, I mean, there's just not a playoff team. But just, you know, the fact that they started off hot, put some wins in the bank there, you know, it allowed them to falter a little bit, and they steadied the ship. And the one thing about the Raiders and Bisaccia, you know, it's a little like Mike Tomlin and the Steelers a little bit. I've been around, you know, both guys. They were both on the same staff in Tampa. It's just there's no excuses. It's just always forward, positive. And that's the way Bisaccia is. And, yeah, the Raiders just gutting it out. I don't even know what to say. Yeah, I don't think the Raiders are anything special. I'm not going to sit here and try to, like, lie. I'd be shocked if the Raiders won this weekend against the Cincinnati Bengals. I would. But they've at least taken to the credo of, like, let's run the ball. We know how to take care of the ball to a degree. And they don't do anything that really seems to mess themselves up or put themselves in compromising situations.
Yeah, a couple huge runs. Josh Jacobs in overtime, that 10-yard run, put him into field goal range. And in the first half, end of the first half, Jalen Richard with that big third and what was it?
Third and 23 run for a first down. That was a huge moment.
That was it. They had to go to review to make sure he got the first down. And they did overturn it. He did get the first down. Do you want to throw it back in the face of the homie last week who was getting on you about not giving the Chargers run defense enough credit?
No. It's okay. That's fine. But yeah, those are things that the Chargers got to. The Chargers aren't far off. They're a team that's got a few positions they got to address. And then more importantly, with a guy like Brandon Staley, they got to get some of the people that make sense for his defense. I don't think he has necessarily the personnel that he wants for his scheme, but they'll get there. And the Raiders, yeah, I don't even know. Like, it's weird. It's just, it's hard to look at one aspect of their team and go, well, that's what's really good.
Yeah.
Carr's efficient. They're getting better at running the ball. Their defense is a pain in the ass because they don't let up big plays. I think that's the biggest thing. And those pass rushers are really the thing that make the big difference.
John Isaac, 55, damn okay. How amazing is freaking Mad Max Crosby?
Yes.
6 tackles, couple sacks, 3 passes defended. Career high, 11 quarterback pressures.
And that's their big advantage. And to me, that's where I look at it, like, you know, just again, looking forward a little before we move on to the next game.
Yep.
The Bengals game. If there's an issue with the Bengals, it is their ability to protect the passer. Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby go off. Joe Burrow tries to make a little too much magic happen. Careless strip sacks, all that. Maybe they pull off the upset. But that is probably the gold standard of their football team is that pass rush. Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator, give him a lot of credit, an inventor of Seattle's scheme. And really, I mean, they gave Herbert and company some issues last night for the better part of the game until they had to force the issue, you know. And then Herbert unleashed the Kraken and started throwing lasers into tight windows. But that's what they kind of force you to do. Like, do you want to hold the ball against our pass rush? And we got all the people back and we're passing off and playing this. Do you really want to try to fit in those 15-yard passes in between two guys and maybe it gets tipped in the air interception or your guy catches it and gets hit? So that's what they play, and teams play conservative against it and try to just use the short passing game. But amazing job. I don't even know where I'm going with it other than I just can't believe the Raiders are in the playoffs.
A lot of adversity throughout the year. They are in the postseason. Respect to them. Respect to Brandon Staley. I like Brandon Staley.
I do too.
I think it's always hard to go out on a limb on some of these things. So I give him credit for being unconventional and still standing by himself. But I've always been a stan, and you mentioned it at the top of the podcast, of Mike Tomlin. I think he is a little bit of an underrated coach here.
100%.
He gets the Pittsburgh Steelers back into the postseason when it looked like they were nowhere close to that quality of a team at some points throughout this year. Mehmet 305 says, damn okay, Ahmed, for predicting that the Steelers would make the playoffs. So I didn't do that, but now people are going to think I did because you're kissing my shoes about that whole thing. But, I mean, Big Ben in the first three quarters had 95 yards and an interception. Fourth quarter and overtime, 149 yards and a touchdown. I mean, he stepped up when they needed him to step up the most.
He's one of the clutchest quarterbacks in the history of the game. And you know what? I made that comment yesterday, and Maria Taylor looked at me, and she's like, no, actually, you're right. He is. Like, I think when you add in playoffs, like, he's up there with, like, all the most all-time fourth-quarter comebacks. I think he might be number one, if I'm remembering that correctly. Maybe Pete can correct me there. But it was, yeah. I mean, it was just another one of those games where you go, the Steelers are being outplayed. They're not the better team on the field. How could this be? Okay, hey, it's 3-0. Great. Hunley fumbled to start the game. All right, 3-0. And then the Ravens take control of the game for a period of time where you just go, well, it's just a matter of time before they make this a two-score football game and put them away. And you're thinking, again, we go back to that moment. To me, this is where the game changed. When they drove down, and it was I believe, 10-6 at this moment, right? 10-6. They drive down. Ravens are starting to dominate in the run game. You're going, holy shit, they're opening up holes that me and Ahmed Farid can run through for 10 yards. Mm-hmm. And they get down there close, and he tries to force a ball to Mark Andrews in the end zone. And the game was never really the same after that. It totally changed the momentum. Steelers went down. I believe they went down. And was that the drive they scored a touchdown? Maybe not. They might have actually got the ball punted.
Yeah.
And then the next drive, right. But I thought that was the tipping point of Pittsburgh regaining some momentum and Baltimore kind of feeling the pressure from that point on.
Yeah, in overtime, the Steelers still needed a lot of third and long conversions. They got them. Pat Freiermuth has become a weapon for them, a tight end. Deontay Johnson hit a big one. Ray McCloud. So it wasn't like it was easy for them.
No.
They still, it was kind of Chargers-esque. They needed a ton of third and long conversions, and they got them.
They got them. I mean, they did it with defense making a few plays, right? They had a big punt return that set up a field goal, I believe, at one point. You know, that was a huge part of the game. I mean, they did it with a total team effort. But then, yes, at the end of the football game, whether it was the drive that got them down there to make it 13-10, it was 13-10, right? I mean, those plays, some of the fourth quarter throws, Big Ben, hey, his arm's still good enough to fit it into some tight windows. And he's got some guts, too. He's not afraid to go, all right, this guy's a little tightly covered, but it's my best option. I'm going to fit it in there. That drive, the drive in overtime, those are the kind of moments I think we'll remember Big Ben by. It's just he made a lot of magic like that happen in his whole career.
They've got a tough team. Ben is now third all-time in fourth-quarter comebacks after, who is it, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady. Tom Brady 1, Peyton Manning 2 there. It's a tough team. The Ethan McNew says, damn okay, Najee Harris coming back in the game playing through an injury. He is such a beast.
He is a beast. Their whole team. I mean, they're about toughness. That's just what
they are. TJ Watt as well.
TJ Watt, of course, yeah. I mean, it's tying the sack record. How can you not talk about that? What an unbelievable year by him. You know, again, I'll say this. It seems like he's going to win NFL Defense MVP. I don't think he actually should be. I feel like we've talked about Micah Parsons on a weekly basis way more than TJ Watt. You know, and
maybe that's a us problem.
Well, it could be. It could be.
TJ
Watt has three games where he has four sacks in three games. So he had bunches of sacks. It didn't necessarily mean consistent domination the whole year. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. It's an amazing accomplishment. The fact that him and his brother both have, like, you know, three 20-sack years is insane. But you said it. They're tough. And they just continue to fight and hang around in the football game. And their toughness, whether they hit you or get an interception or crowd the pocket, make the quarterback fumble, throw an interception, whatever it is. It's that attitude you're talking about that's why the Steelers are in the playoffs and have me kissing your feet later.
And to TJ Watt's credit, he does give credit to a lot of his teammates. He said, quote, a lot of selfless guys in that locker room that allow me to make plays so that record isn't just mine. He's a big F up the play guy too.
Yeah.
And he realizes
no
how
doubt.
Important those guys are
yeah.
around him.
Yeah. They're again, I don't really think they're that good of a defense. You know, they've been fortunate to play some teams that aren't great on the offensive side of the ball lately. You know, the Ravens, of course, are one of those teams where I don't sit here and go, oh, wow, that's a great offense. Definitely not. You know, but the Ravens, hey, they made all the big mistakes on the field yesterday. That's the only way you can really put it. I don't know if I can really sit here and tell you I think the Steelers are better than the Ravens. I don't know if I can honestly give you that answer. But I can tell you that they fight through the clutch moments and don't make mistakes and find a way to kind of come out on top. And that's why they'll be going to Kansas City and have to deal with the Chiefs there.
It's going to be really interesting, the Coach of the Year conversation, because last week we were talking about LaFleur and Zach Taylor, and now this week you can talk about Mike Tomlin getting them in the postseason and Bisacci, the first interim coach ever. So I think there's going to be some interesting discussions. A lot of deserving coaches, which is cool.
Yeah,
you know, there's a
no
lot,
doubt.
And I was looking around. A lot of really good coaches, I feel like, in the NFL right now.
I agree. And, you know, I hope Bisacci continues to put the pressure on the Raiders organization. He is totally capable of being a head coach for that organization, for everything he's done. Again, you don't have to be an offense or defensive game plan genius to be a good head coach. There's more to it than that. And Tomlin, yeah, for whatever reason, whenever the Steelers falter, people want to jump on him. And, you know, really, two out of the last 3 years, the coaching jobs that the Steelers have done. Listen, last year was even amazing. The fact that they were 11-0 with that team last year was amazing.
Yeah.
It was. The year before that, when Big Ben hurt his elbow, right? Was that year with Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph? I mean, the fact that they were sitting there still having a chance to play for the playoffs late in that year, that's all, again, the culture, the kind of guys they've recruited and signed and drafted and got there in Pittsburgh, let alone the head coach who knows how to lead them in the right direction.
A club that's trying to get that culture is the Jacksonville Jaguars. They've had a bit of a rocky go getting there this year, but it ends well for them. They eliminate the Indianapolis Colts in perhaps one of the most shocking games of the season. The only question I can think of for this game is how.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
Yeah, well, I mean, Trevor Lawrence played his best game of the year. That would be the first thing I would tell you. You know, the Colts just unable to get anything to go together on the offensive side of the ball. You know, the run game was few and far between. The stats are a little bit better than they actually were as far as the game played out. But, you know, it looked like more times than not, I don't know if I'm going to be able to give you the full answers. It's just a lot of plays where Carson Wentz was dropping back. It didn't look like there was anybody open or anything that he saw downfield led him to hold the ball. But, like, Jacksonville just beat them. I don't know. There wasn't anything I looked at and went like, oh, wow, wait, they're doing this, or this is crazy. No, there wasn't any of that. It was a straight-up butt-whooping. I mean, they kind of controlled the football game really throughout. And you just kept going, well, can the Colts get some momentum here and kind of flip the script here and catch on fire? And you kept kind of waiting for it. How? It's 10-3. They'll get it. 13-3. Okay, they're not out of it. 16-3. It'll be okay. But then Carson Wentz dumb shit started happening too. You know, whether it's him trying to shovel past the ball, you know, as he's getting sacked, that ends up being a fumble, right? So that caused issues. Then he had the bad interception to follow it up. So there they are, 13-3, kind of fighting, hanging in. Shovel pass fumble, 16-3. Wentz, bad interception. And then, you know, I believe it was the subsequent drive where Trevor Lawrence and company go drive down, score the touchdown, and put the game away.
Was that the awesome play where the bad snap,
yes,
the scramble?
Right.
And, yeah,
scramble.
That
and
was
he
an
makes,
awesome
makes
play.
A great throw to the
One
back
of his
corner,
best
Marvin
plays of the
Jones.
Year.
Yeah, that was good to see. And listen, I've talked about Trevor a lot the last like few weeks, or not a lot, but enough to go, what I was seeing was a little concerning, right? What I hear from teams about him in pregame warmups, a little concerning. It was good to see him end with a little bit of a positive note there. And really, I thought he threw the ball phenomenal yesterday. Really, no dicey decisions. And it's just one of those things where teams have an issue going to certain places to play. I don't know why. I mean, we're going to talk about one in a few minutes with the Patriots and the Dolphins. There's just something to it every now and then in football. And I can't quite put my finger on it.
Yeah, the Colts haven't won there since, what is it, Pete?
2014.
It's 2014.
Yes.
They haven't won in Jacksonville, which is crazy because the Jaguars have been not very good for a while. It was the number one team in the NFL in turnover differential, the Colts, against the worst team in that category, the Jaguars. And the Jaguars won the turnover battle in this game. Is Carson Wentz, I don't want to call him a loser.
Yeah.
But is he not a winner?
I'm not going to say that either. I'm not. I mean, he's shown us moments of being a winner, so I don't want to say that. But there's just still an element that you don't want to let him in the trust tree yet. I think that's what I guess I look at. There's just still a little too much of the, you know, oh, I got somebody hanging on my foot, and I'm about to go down, but I'm going to pump the ball, and I might throw it. I might throw it. I don't care if I'm falling and might do something crazy. There's just too much of that. It's just not always trustworthy in some of the big moments of a football game. Seems to rear its ugly head, too, you know. It rears its ugly head against the best defenses because he can't, or the biggest games and those. It's usually limited talent that he can pull off those plays against the weaker class, the middle class. But for whatever reason, yes, it's just whether it's the Bucs game, that game yesterday, there seems to be a handful of plays and big clutch moments where Carson Wentz just does some head-scratching things.
Yeah, Carson Wentz has doubters out there. Jimmy Garoppolo has a lot of doubters out there as well for the San Francisco 49ers. Before we get to that game,
yeah,
it is the beginning of Damn Okay, presented by Under Armour.
Damn. I'm okay. Damn. I'm okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, yes.
I'm okay.
The legal gambolizing.
Oh, baby. I am Chris Sims. I'm okay. Damn. I'm okay.
Damn okay. We start with the 49ers comeback win over the Rams in overtime, 27-24. Aladdin Bust You wants to give the damn okay to your boy Kyle.
Yeah.
Says a lot of Niner faithful wanted him fired earlier this season, but what he's been able to do since week 10 versus the Rams is incredible, and he deserves credit.
He does deserve credit. He's one of the best coaches in football. And the offensive game planning of what they do on that side of the ball is up there with anybody in the sport. It is. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo is a good quarterback. He's nothing special. All right? I mean, he's good. He played great in some big moments yesterday. I understand that. He also did some dumb Jimmy Garoppolo stuff, too, which is why they were down 17-0. Or, you know, early in the game, or had a chance to maybe even, you know, make that game a little different in the fourth quarter, throwing the interception down the middle to Jalen Ramsey. So it's not like he's, again, they have an offense that's as dangerous as anybody in football, but nobody would classify their quarterback as one of the more dangerous quarterbacks in football. Nobody would classify their quarterback as a top 10 quarterback in football. It's one of the only offenses in the sport where we go, that's dangerous, and nobody even talks about the quarterback. All right? So then who's the next guy? It's the coach. Of course it is. He makes it all happen. He's special. The game was awesome to watch. You could tell the Rams came out like pissed off. Like, what the fuck? Fuck you, 49ers. We're not going to lose to you today. It's been five in a row. And you could tell the energy was on their side. They were out hitting the 49ers early on in the football game. Of course, the 49ers made a few mistakes, too. You know, the Rams had the good punt return, right? We had the interception by Garoppolo, right? That was a Garoppolo interception, right? That led to the touchdown that goes up 17-0. I'm pretty sure, right? That was Taylor Rapp down the middle. That was that interception, right? All right, I know. I got too many plays in my head.
Got so many plays.
But either way, you know, you got through that point, and you're going, wow, man, can the 49ers get anything going? And to me, it was this play. It was I think it was a 31-yard completion to Ayuk down the middle, like, to go for the field goal drive, 17-3, right before the half. And the game never was the same. It was never the same. It was like the 49ers got a little momentum. They went into the halftime and went like, hey, we took their best shot, and screw them. We could play with them. And they came out and really dominated the second half of the football game from that point on. They really did. Controlled the game, and you felt like, oh, wow, are the Rams going to be able to hang on here? And then, of course, they had the clutch drive to score the touchdown. He went, wow, okay, that might do it. That might do it. But Jimmy G being clutch himself, really, with an awesome drive at the end to go down there and tie the football game.
Yeah, Jimmy G did have that drive at the end of the game. But to your point, it was a lot of the running game up to that point.
Yeah.
The touchdown that made it 17-17. That drive went 84 yards. It was run, 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 run. And then Deebo Samuel, 24-yard touchdown pass.
Touchdown pass on the toss sweep pass, right. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You know, again, that's Shanahan. That is Shanahan. I'm not trying to take away from Jimmy Garoppolo or anything, but he is magical. And the fact that, yes, he puts your team and your scheme in binds. And I felt like he came out in the second half and realized some things like, hey, what coaches do, and they're really good ones, they go in at halftime, they realize they have their – they realize how they've been played. Wait, every time I play this personnel, oh, okay, they start to match things up. Wait, when I play this formation or this personnel. Oh, wait, they're playing this defense. Oh, okay, so I got to think about going to these plays then. All right, and they made all the proper adjustments to where they just felt like when they came out in the second half, he figured out, like, all right, they're playing me like this. Here we go. I'm going to go to these three or four run plays that I know are going to gash it. And it looked like what we've seen from the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
49ers are a tough matchup for the Rams. They're bigger than the Rams, not a lot bigger, but with the size advantage, they're one of the few teams in football that can match up to the speed of the Rams. And that's where the Rams lose their advantage, because they go, hey, we play teams that are bigger than us a lot, but we're usually so much faster than them, we can create chaos. The 49ers, a little bit bigger, but are like, we can move too. You're not like overwhelming us with Aaron Donald shooting a gap here and Leonard Floyd and all that. Like, that doesn't disrupt them as much as other teams. And they're built in a way that really gives the Rams some issues.
And the 49ers did it without Trent Williams in this game.
So
that was impressive.
I was expecting him to play. I knew he was injured all last week and was on the injury report. I did not know he was officially out until we sat down and the game started. I went, wait, Trent Williams is not playing? Like, that made me think differently at first. But again, Shanahan, appropriate game planning and finding the right run plays that fit his offensive linemen, not asking them to do too much, if it's just backup in there, whatever it may be. Just a gutsy effort there by the 49ers. 49ers are tough, and the 49ers can go to the Super Bowl, and the 49ers can win the Super Bowl. I'm just telling you right now, they are capable of winning the Super Bowl this year. What did we learn again here this weekend? There's no great team in the NFL. None. I mean, none. There is not a great team in football. We saw the number one team in the AFC have something to play for, and they were fucking biting their nails against the Houston Texans. We saw the Chiefs, who had something to play for, against the nothing fucking Denver Broncos, and they were getting controlled in the fourth quarter, and you're going, oh shit, they're in trouble. It's the weirdest year I can ever remember. And you know me, I'm not the type that like comes out and like makes. I'm the one that goes like, it's going to be one of these teams that's going to win the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like it's hard to tell right now who the hell's going to win the Super Bowl or who's clearly better than the other. It's very strange that way.
It's going to be a wacky postseason run here. Do we have the stats? One final point here to make. Do we have the stats first half versus second half for the 49ers here? Because they exploded, just 3 points in the first half and then 24 in the second half. It's the largest comeback in the Kyle Shanahan era, and it's the largest blown lead in the Sean McVay era. First time he's given up a halftime lead in his career,
right.
I believe.
He was like something like undefeated going into the lead, going into halftime with a lead, right?
He had the second longest streak in NFL history. And one point I wanted to make is that what I thought, and I don't want to get in, and we've already done it kind of with Brandon Staley, the second guessing of coaches and going for two and going for fourth down. I mean, that's kind of getting a little stale. But I did think there was a painfully conservative call by Sean McVay late in this one.
Yeah, I think this is worth talking about.
37.
Yes, right.
A minute 40 left.
No doubt.
You run the ball there. Right. To make the 49ers burn their
final
timeout.
They had one timeout left. Yeah. Right, exactly right. I'm glad you went here with this. I would have forgot about this. I did look at this moment as one of the few, and I'm a big believer in McVay's ability to manage football games. I mean, come on. He won all those games all these years with Jared Goff, a quarterback, managing and not doing anything stupid. Wait, we're not going to do this. But you're in that moment, right? And it is 24-17, right? They got the lead at that point.
Yep.
This is before they punted everybody. Yeah, yep. Duh, obviously. You got Matthew Stafford for this reason right here. You do. Now, I know you got faith in your defense, and you're also thinking, man, it's Jimmy G, and he's been shaky already. Can they really go the whole field to do that? Go ahead. What do you want to say?
But if you have faith in your defense,
I know.
Then you're like, all right, does it matter if they have one timeout or zero timeouts?
It doesn't matter. That's the point. And you're exactly right. To me, that's a moment where you go, give them their extra timeout. We're going to go for the win of the football game right here. And I was a little surprised by that. I was. Now, the other aspect he could also be thinking is, I don't fucking trust my own quarterback either, which I think could be a legitimate thing. I mean, again, we saw, interception at the end of the game. All right. You can live with that, even though you go, like, if you throw it out there, he's got the guy beat. He's running by him. He underthrew it by 15 yards. I don't know what he was trying to do there, So I maybe that plays into it. And the fact of, like, the other issue with the Rams is their offensive line is just not great. It's just not a real good offensive line. You saw yesterday. I mean, the 49ers in the second half just absolutely steamrolled their offensive line. There was no run game to talk about. Stafford, when he was throwing the ball, you felt like, oh, okay, he just got that off. Whoa, good play by him. He just got that off. That was close. So those are some issues the Rams have, certainly. But you know, the 49ers, even though a worse record than the Rams, I think are built better to make a little bit of a run here in the playoffs than the Rams. The Rams might win one or two. Don't get me wrong. I guess I don't look at them as quite the threat to win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl as I look at the 49ers, too.
Yeah, 49ers and Cowboys in the first round. We got the Cardinals and the Rams in the first round as well. The New Orleans Saints for a second look like they might be playoff bound.
Because
if they
Saints.
Were scoreboard watching, the 49ers, they were down, and the Saints were leading, I think, all that game against the Atlanta Falcons. They do win 30-20, but because the 49ers comeback win, the Saints are out of it. But we got to give props to our damn okay Alvin Kamara. He had a career-high 30 carries in this game, a season-high 146 yards, and kudos to Sean Payton as well, 9-8 season in a season where you lose your quarterback. Taysom Hill has injuries. He leaves this game.
Right.
With Kamara and Payton, I think those two have buoyed this organization. They're strong elsewhere, strong lines, good defensively.
Yeah.
But those two specifically seem like they have done a lot to put this organization where they are.
Definitely. We got to give Sean Payton a lot of credit. He's one of the best coaches in football. Yeah, Kamara, of course, we know is one of the best backs in the game. And really, hey, him being hurt for that 3 or 4 game stretch was really what hurt their football team ultimately, because I think they have a lot of things that are playoff quality about their team. They're another team, again, I don't know if they could have got to the Super Bowl like I'm talking about the 49ers. But could they have upset somebody wild card weekend and gone into divisional round weekend? Absolutely. Now, it would depend on Taysom Hill's health a little bit. But that game yesterday, you know, I know it looked like the Falcons hung around for a little bit, but I never got the feel that they were, like, in the same class. The Saints were physically moving them around on the offensive side of the ball. Matt Ryan and company, when the game was competitive, they were having a hard time doing anything moving the football. He made a few plays moving and throwing in the pocket, but that's about it. I mean, this was a Saints game through and through. Even missed a field goal earlier on in the football game, too. I mean, I give them a lot of credit. And between that run game, that O-line, D-line, their defense in general, yeah, they could have been a pain in the butt for somebody in that first round. Shame they didn't make it, but we'll see them next year.
And we'll be having all the same talks about who is the future quarterback of that franchise.
Yeah,
I'm sure,
I think that's going to be a real conversation. I mean, we know Taysom Hill is going to be there. But
Liz Frank injury was what the reports were.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, man. He had the plantar fasciitis issue with the foot, and now Liz Frank. Liz Frank is a really pain in the butt. I mean, that's something that's going to deal – he's going to have to deal with all offseason and really probably just getting back to close to 100% when training camp's coming around. So, yes, but I would expect them to be in the market for some type of quarterback this year. Some shape, way, or form, they're going to get somebody down there.
You know who else could be in the market for a quarterback?
Who's that?
The Seattle Seahawks. And if this was the end for Russell Wilson with Seattle, he goes out with a victory.
Yeah.
38-30 over the Arizona Cardinals in a really entertaining game. A game that was important for Arizona because they could have won the division.
They could have won the division and had a home playoff game.
If they just beat Seattle, right. Which they didn't do.
Nope.
And they've been a little up and down here the last second half of the season.
Ooh, have they.
And it showed up again in this game. What was your big takeaway from this game?
Well, I think the big thing is, though, all the big plays the Seahawks offense made, I kept looking going, home. Wow, I mean, there goes another big pass. There goes Rashad Penny ripping off 15 or 20 yards. There goes another big pass. There goes Rashad Penny for 10 yards. I was a little surprised by that. I was. And I think, you know, I couple that with, you know, I have my little concerns as I broke down. We did it on Wednesday. The Cardinals offense, you know, there's aspects to like, but you saw yesterday what are some of the issues. It's just like it's 3 yards in a cloud of dust, but it's some screens and it's, oh, a run up the middle for 3 and 4 yards. They're having a hard time getting any explosive plays on the offensive side of the ball. That would be my big thing. You know, even in the Cowboy game last week, I know they had the one big pass to Christian Kirk. They maybe had one other big pass to Wesley. You know, but it's few and far between for the amount of talent they have on their team. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Man, does it seem like it's hard work for them to move the ball down the field. I guess that's what I look at more than anything right now. And I don't know if it's sustainable in the playoffs to go in and think, like, we're going to screen the Rams to death and run for 4 yards to death and then throw a screen again to death and then run for 4 yards to death and hope you play man-to-man and hope we get Christian Kirk on a one-on-one so we could throw a ball down the field. That's what I worry a little bit about with the Cardinals. There's not enough of a systematic breakdown of the other team's defense enough. Does that make sense? To where you just they pick them apart with their system, their plays. To me, they're picking them apart with what I would call as bullshit plays is what I call it. You know, just, oh, here's a screen for four. Here's a screen for eight. They got a million different screens. Here's a short pass for four. That's all good. That's good. But I just don't know if that's realistic. Again, 19 plays, 66-yard drive to go on a field goal. That's good. That's just I don't think that's going to get you where you want to go in the playoffs. That's what I'm worried about with them. And I'm shocked that their defense, and I'd like to see this, because this is where I've gotten to their big people conversation on the defensive side of the ball. They got big people. They're not great. They don't really want to be big on defense. They want to be fast and move around and do crazy stuff. And it just seemed like they got creased a few times in the run game yesterday, which I need to break down exactly to see what happened.
Opposite story for the Seahawks, D. You mentioned the troubles they gave Arizona in this game. Diogo Mendez says, without Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams, and his replacement, losing Quandre Diggs during the game, they killed Arizona's high-flying offense. Without the two turnovers, they held them to just 16 points. And so, yeah, Carlos Dunlap was good, hit a couple sacks.
Yep.
Puda Ford had a sack and a half. Kerry Hyder had a sack. And so Seahawks defense stepped up in this game.
Seahawks defense, this is like 3 years in a row where you just go, wow, what is the issue that they have to start the first 5 or 6 weeks as like the worst defense we've ever seen in the history of football?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the year, we start to go, fuck, they're a tough unit. It's not – nobody can seem to move the ball on them or make plays. They got to figure out what that is. Now, I'll give them credit like I do a Tomlin or a Shanahan. They got a bunch of just crazy psychos on their team. That's where they're good. They don't know anything else other than compete, play hard. I'm on the football field, so I might as well knock your head off.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way they are. And that's, you know, why they never seem to, you know, go down without a fight. I don't know if that's Russell Wilson's last game. I'm going to bet it is in Seattle. I am. But way to go out on a positive note for Big Russ and the passing game. And that was a good win for them to, you know, take the nasty taste of the season out of their mouth.
Good win for them. Got some older players on that offensive side of the ball, still able to do some things, as Cardinals. Is the case for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They beat the Carolina Panthers their last game, 41-17. The final are damn okay. We're going to give it to Rob Gronkowski. He needed 7 catches, 85 yards, to get a $500,000 bonus for each.
Oh, my gosh. How pissed off is Antonio Brown watching that happen yesterday?
But you know what? It happened last year for Antonio, so I don't know. Right?
Yeah, that was last year. He's looking at this year going, wait, I have hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I shouldn't have taken my shirt off and walked out of New York.
I don't care what anybody says. I still believe that's I know enough to know that was definitely part of the equation. I know he was hurt, but he was about – and as I told Pete as I was watching that game on film last week, he was mad. There were some plays where he was open, and he was mad he didn't get the ball. I definitely think that played into that whole equation there. And then the fact that he railed on, you know, Gronk got this contract because he's Brady's boy, and then they go out and make sure Gronk gets the incentives. I almost felt like it was a personal, like, hey, fuck you, Antonio.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah, and then Tom Brady, that was his last play. He came out, the one last play was to get Gronk that 7th catch. He finished with 137 yards, his most receiving yards in a game since 2017. It's going to be interesting for this Buccaneers team because, you know, no Goodwin, Godwin.
Godwin, he's good
know,
or God.
Yeah, right. Cyril Grayson, the guy that we're like, all right, maybe he can step up. He left this
pulls
game with
hamstring
a hamstring
or,
injury.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Mike Evans played in this game, but he's been a little dinged up at times. So you don't have all the weapons 100% like you did last year for the Bucs.
No, it's hard to gauge them right now. They're not playing great football, but it is because of the injuries. It makes you think differently about them. I still would sit here and go, listen, if the Bucs were 100% healthy, I'd go, they're going to the Super Bowl. You know, they're going to the Super Bowl, or maybe, you know, there's one or two teams out there that can mess with them. They're still the most talented team in the sport when healthy. It's just, when are they going to be healthy? I don't know. You know, right now, hey, that game was 41-17 is very misleading. Very misleading. The Panthers moved the ball on the Bucs at times yesterday. They early on in the game, Brady and company, it wasn't like a offensive machine. It was a little bit, again, of like Brady being a little jumpy in the pocket. They couldn't get things going. They kind of piled it on late in the football game. I tried to say this during the highlight show last night. It's 24-17 in the early fourth quarter. It wasn't like this was like, oh, man, they dominated throughout. I always thought they were going to win the football game, but it didn't look great, I guess, on their end. And they got some fighting to do right now. They are. They're not exactly themselves. There's enough injuries on both sides of the ball that make you concerned about Tampa Bay to where you go, I don't know if they can overcome it.
if Brady can somehow get another Super Bowl out of this team that's a bit hobbled,
yeah,
Chris might finally put him in his top 20 quarterbacks
You're
of
funny.
Next year.
You're funny. It's crazy, though. You know, you think about they had the Carolina game a few weeks ago, 32-6, which, you know, again, was a good showing, but I would say even that score is misleading. We're outplayed by the Jets. And then yesterday, we're in a game where, yeah, they were the better team on the field, but certainly the Panthers were hanging in there with them and weren't outclassed. And I do think that's because of the injuries and some of the issues they got there.
Better team on the field in Miami yesterday was the Miami Dolphins. For that game, we dive into the headlines. It is time for Give Me the Headlines, presented by Hyundai. And we do start with the Dolphins winning their last regular season game in the tenure of Brian Flores. Didn't know it at the time, but that's what's happened here. The news we've gotten here on Monday. 33-24 was the final score. What's your headline in this game, Chris?
It's not you. It's me.
Uh-oh.
Right? You know, that's what you say when you break up with the girlfriend?
Yes.
To make her, like, you know, let it down easy. It's not really you. You're perfect. I have flaws.
Yes.
And I got to get it figured out. And that's what Stephen Ross said to Brian Flores after the game. It's not you. It's me.
Yeah.
I have flaws.
Yes.
And I need to find somebody else that can correct these flaws. I'm shocked. And it sounds like this was some sort of power play down there. It does.
How so?
The owner was not content with the way things were going down there. And whether it was the GM or Flores or whatever, you know, he took a side and realized he wanted to stay with the GM and Greer. And I'm sure Greer, again, the GM, always has the ear of the owner a little bit more than the coach. The coach is busy coaching the team. You know, the GM gets to be like, oh, wait, you're in town? I'll stop by your office. Oh, you want to have dinner tonight? Oh, we're going to watch the game together in your box, and I'll sit next to you. And when things go good, I'll go, look at all the good players I drafted. And when they go bad, I'll go, why'd our coach do that? I don't know. It has that look from the outside in. I don't have a specific knowledge. I know little tidbits of things here and there, but I'm still shocked by it. I am. And the more you hear here, too, just from like, hey, I heard this early in the year. I heard Florio reported a little today, you know, but Brian Flores was wearing people out down there. Well, yeah, he's a tough SOB. He is. He's not there to, like, you know, this is not a Boy Scout leader or band camp, you know, leader. He's just not what he is. He's rough. It's a football team. That's why they're tough and rough themselves as a team. So I was shocked by that. But either way, that was a way to go out yesterday. And, you know, they played good. His defense played good. They made plays. And really, ultimately, what I came away with more than anything, all right, just to go back to the game for a second, is like, I didn't sit here and go, oh, man, the Dolphins just really outplayed the Patriots. I did not. I went here and went, there's a number of things. There's the pick six. There's the fumble by Mac Jones. There's the lining up on the center on a punt by the Patriots where they're going to get the ball back, and now it gave the Dolphins a first down. The fake punt, then they got screwed over with the fake punt. The Dolphins aren't going to get it. The punter's going to slide. Brandon Bolden goes to hit him, doesn't even hit him, and they call unnecessary roughness. What? You know, but so the Patriots did some stupid stuff yesterday that's not really like them, I guess is what I want to say. Not to take anything away from the Dolphins or anything like that. Other thing, too, that I was shocked by,
yes,
Dolphins ran the ball on the Patriots. I did not expect that either. Not with that offensive line. And the Patriots' defensive line has kind of been the more disappointing things here down the stretch, is the fact that they've been pushed around a few times by other teams' offensive lines.
Have the Patriots, they're a playoff team, but have they collectively hit a bit of a wall here? Mac Jones, has he hit a wall? Has the team hit a wall?
Well, they have to play a certain way. They're not explosive enough on offense to kind of like overcome certain obstacles. So that's really where I don't know if I sit here and look at it and go, oh, it's a wall. I just think when they're not the type of team that, oh, you're down 17-0, you're going to come back. That's not what they are. They want to be in a close football game. We're going to be smart. We're going to produce situations, right? We're going to run the ball, run out the clock, wear you out that way. They're not like, oh, let's get in the shootout and have some fun out here type of football team. Absolutely not. And really, when you look at, like, You know, the Colts game, they shot themselves in the foot and got behind in that football game. Buffalo, hey, they went toe-to-toe with Buffalo in a lot of ways. I mean, again, that game was a one-score game. I think it was, what, 28-21, something like that. And Josh Allen made two or three of the most unbelievable fucking plays in the world on third down to go down and score a touchdown to put that game away. So that was another game where, yeah, they lost, but it wasn't a bad effort by them. I'm not giving up on the Patriots. I'm not. But they're just not good enough. This is not like Tom Brady and the Patriots yet, all right, where they can go, we screwed up early. We'll chip away. We'll come back and win this game. That's not who they are yet.
They are a playoff team, though.
They are a playoff team.
Something that Miami is not, despite finishing 9-8 after going 1-7 to start the year, and finishing 10-6 last year.
Yeah.
And so you got into a little bit of the stuff, Compass Traveler.
I just don't get it. Go ahead.
Wanted to know the narrative behind the curtain with Brian Flores, and more will come out.
Yeah,
on that.
But
more
I think that narrative out. Is real a little bit. You know, I know I've told people in this building, you know, he is rough. There is no doubt about that. I don't know how much maybe whether his lack – and again, no knowledge, like lack of wanting to get behind or what the issue with Tua. That's where I'm all interested to see where this goes here. Mm-hmm. I am. And then again, anybody that'll tell you is they have Tua because of Stephen Ross, period. So, you know, I hope he's not getting fired for something the owner did. And then we couldn't make it work with the guy that we didn't think could make it work, but you forced him on us. Oh, yeah. Great.
Probably didn't help just seeing Justin Herbert do what he did in that game on Sunday Night Football.
Can I make one more point, too, about all the games?
No.
I wish I would have said this off the top, all right?
Yes.
Fuck you. I got to kiss your feet. all right, but here's I will say this. We look at these games and you go, okay, they got something to play for, right? But, like, it was a weird day yesterday. Yeah, the Rams have something to play for, but they're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The 49ers were fucking desperate. Yeah, the Chiefs had something to play for, but they knew they were having a home playoff game. It didn't really matter. You know, so there is still a psychological element in some of these games yesterday where, yes, I know technically there was something to play for, but you know, not to the point maybe where it gives you the edge or the playoff intensity of like, oh, we're going home. If we don't win, we go home today. You know, there was a few games like that where, you know, I think we could look at it and go, yeah, just because there was something to play for doesn't mean they came with the same edge as maybe as some of these other teams that they were playing against.
The Bills were playing for the AFC East title.
Yeah.
A win against the Jets is all they needed to have. And for a while there, looked like it was more difficult than it should have been. They did end up getting the win, 17 points over the Jets. Your headline for this one is?
Nine times, Ferris, Mrs. Bueller.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off, of course.
Yes, your one movie you've seen. Buffalo was all over Zach Wilson.
Nine sacks
everywhere. I mean, poor Zach Wilson. He had to deal with that to end his season. Go up in Buffalo and just get absolutely demolished and run over. Yeah, it wasn't pretty. I mean, again, you could see that the Jets were going to have struggles moving the ball against that football team. And that was a tough matchup for them. The Jets are not a great running team, all right, nor are they a great passing team. Buffalo could stack the box and scare them away from the run. Leslie Frazier and McDermott could have all the people dropping out. You know, the passing game for the Jets, it's still in its infancy levels to where it's like, you know, you can kind of figure out how they want to attack you. I'm sure they had people all in the passing lanes giving them issues there as far as Zach Wilson's concerned. The defense was smothering. You know, the offense is what to talk about with the Bills, but it's the same thing. I mean, the Bills, hey, I'm pumped that we've seen a little run game for them getting going. But again, it's still the Josh Allen show. So it's never going to be this, like, well-orchestrated, oiled machine where they're just going to dominate teams. No, it's too predicated on him making individual great plays outside the realm of the offense. And, yeah, that's why there's ebbs and flows to their football team, and they're a little bit dependent on, wait, we need Josh to make a play, so then they're worried about him, and he could throw a screen to Devin Singletary, who can now make a play. Right, it's just a lot of that, and that's a hard way to be like consistent on the offensive side of the ball all the time.
Tom Brady is booty wrote in. He said, love the pod as always, but damn okay, Josh Allen. On his first touchdown throw to Stephon Diggs, breaks two tackles just to throw a laser while being tackled. If anyone asked for one play that defined Josh Allen, I'd show him that
Well,
one.
That's where, like, I tried to make this, like, a little bit of a sarcastic reference last night, because I don't know if people really know what they're watching with Josh Allen sometimes. I come away and I talk to friends sometimes, and I'm like, what? All right, so wait. He broke a tackle. He stiff-armed a defensive lineman and threw him to the ground, and then threw a sidearm throw out of bounds to where his guy can reach and get it, and nobody can. And we just go, oh, that's Josh Allen. And I want to go, what? I mean, that's insane. That's insane. And that was an insane play. I tried to make that reference because, I don't know if everybody realizes what they're watching sometimes with Josh Allen. It's a freak show. He is a freak of nature. And they're too reliant on the freak of nature, which is, you know, a little scary. And that's what we question about how really good are they? But hey, they're going in on a positive note. Yep. They got the home game. They got the Pats coming to town again. Which I wondered, like, do you want the Pats coming to town, or do they not? I wonder how they feel about that. I do. You know, maybe they feel like, hey, we got a hold of their offense. We know how to slow them down. I don't know. I would think you would not want the Patriots coming to town. I don't. I mean, again, another crack at them. They've gotten to see Josh Allen twice. You know, they got to see the whole unveiling of the offense in the second game against the Patriots. So now the Patriots D is going to know how to defend off of that a little bit. Be interesting to see. I think that'll be a nail biter of a football game.
I do think it's possible we are sleeping maybe a little bit on the Bills, because all 11 of their wins were by double digits, and all but one of their losses were by one possession, I believe. So it's like they've won big, and they've barely lost those losses. So it's perhaps, some of the weaknesses that you've pointed out are definitely legit.
Well, the problem is the losses are against all, like, playoff teams. Mm. And the wins are those that you're talking about for the most part are, there's the Falcons and the Jets and the Panthers and the Jets. You know, they killed the Saints when they were ravaged by injuries on Thanksgiving night. Yeah. You know, so I guess that's what's a little scary about
quality
them.
Wins. Where quality are the quality wins.
And then they beat the Chiefs in Kansas City, but that was early in the year when Kansas City was really not the same team they are now. So that's where we question them a little bit. But, man, yes, I'm with you. And they put pressure on you. That's where I love the Bills.
Sure.
It's full attack, Josh Allen, go. It's people at the line of scrimmage, crazy shit on defense. And they're going to make you perform under that pressure to beat them.
Dallas can pressure the other team with their defense this year, much improved. They did that against Philadelphia's second and third string team, basically out there, winning 51-26 on Saturday. Your headline for that game is? Such a quick transition.
Back on Dak?
Back on track.
Back on Dak. Is Dak back? If we get into a whole rhyming session
here. That's a lot of questions.
Right.
Do you have any answers
for
that?
Well, because I don't, okay. Like, whoa, he 5 touchdowns against a bunch of second and third stringers for the Philadelphia defense. Whoa, they're back, everybody. I mean, I kind of got a laugh yesterday waking up on, Sunday and just everybody praising the Cowboys. Like, there's no questions now. They moved the ball against the third stringers. Here we go. That did nothing for me. It's good. It's positive. It gives them a little confidence, certainly, something to build on. You know, there is that aspect, certainly. But I don't think, like, they're going to be fooled. I don't think Dak and the offense got on the plane and were like, we're back, man. That Eagles defense, the way we moved the ball today, whew. Or we got it going again.
But they probably feel like they could score 50 on anyone. Like, they feel like we could do this against most defenses.
They probably do. It gives you a yes. There is positive here. There's no doubt about that. You know, because you go, well, look, when we execute, we know what we're doing. Look how good we are. You know, these are our capabilities. But that was a very weird game to get a feel for altogether. I did not come away going, oh, my gosh, wow. And then, you know, the other aspect, too, and this is where it gets into, there was something to play for, but not something to play for. Like, you know, the Eagles moving the ball in the Cowboys defense, which looks like they had a lot of their starters in. That was a little concerning. But, again, there's nothing really to be playing for mm-hmm. the Cowboys. So it's hard to gauge that football game in general. They're both in the playoffs. Cowboys are very talented. It's going to be awesome to see that matchup against the 49ers. I do think their defensive line will be the key to the football game. It's going to be on them to ruin the game. And then, I expect Dallas' offense versus the 49ers' defense to be a slugfest. I think it'll be hard. But the one thing I look at is go, Dallas, will you throw the ball outside and attack these corners? Can you do that? I don't know. But certainly a playoff team and a lot of good there. But, yes, I still have my questions about this Dallas offense. I do. I have more questions about them than I do the Dallas defense.
Cedric Wilson looked good. He had a career-high 119 yards, a couple touchdowns there. Michael Gallup hurt, and so maybe he can be a star for them in the postseason. That was Give Me the Headlines presented by Hyundai. The other game on Saturday was Chiefs-Broncos. Looked like the Chiefs were going to lose that game late. Denver had a chance to They had the lead, chance to make it even more, but the fumble, Melvin Ingram hitting his former teammate Melvin Gordon, and then Nick Bolton picks it up and bolts 86 yards for the touchdown. You kind of talked about this earlier a little bit.
Yeah.
Not a real impressive win for the Chiefs in a game that they didn't really
meet. We could be the number one seed.
But it's probably not going to happen.
Yes, exactly right. Right. There's not real emotion going into a game like that. There's not. But, again, they're, still some things about their football team. They're unbelievable. You're sitting there just going, whoa, they're going to lose this game. They're out of it. And all of a sudden, one of their superstar players makes a play. Melvin Ingram busts through the line. Nick Bolton picks it up, runs it for a touchdown. And you're going, oh, crap, And then they re-accelerate. Oh, okay, the Broncos go down and get a field goal. The Chiefs go right down the field and go, well, this is over. We're ending this right now. Mm-hmm. They're amazing. I mean, Mahomes didn't even play good, but he still makes a handful of plays where you go, that's fucking amazing. I don't know what else to say. I did think there was a lot of plays yesterday or Saturday where I watched the replay and I go, and Pete can – I texted once or twice during the game to Pete and Florio a little bit like, what is Mahomes looking at? There's two people wide open in front of him. He really watches the rush a lot right now, more than I ever remember him. Yeah, the Chiefs are good, but they're not perfect. They're not dominant 2018, 2019, 2020 Chiefs. They're certainly not. And then you saw their defense bleed a little again, too, in the game, in the run game. But nonetheless, like the Chiefs always do, they find a way to win the football game.
Tyreek Hill had a heel injury in pregame warm-ups, so
that.
Some concern there. Travis Kelce had a hip issue right at the end of the game there after his catch, which basically iced the game for the Chiefs. Jerick McKinnon looked pretty good. Mecole Hardman had his first 100-yard game.
McKinnon looked really good.
He did look good, right?
To me, McKinnon and Gore, I believe, are better than Williams. I like Williams, don't get me wrong. McKinnon gives you them real juice. Out of the backfield. He runs hard, right. And he's a real threat in the pass game. I wish they would give him the ball a little bit more.
Yeah. Maybe they will.
Yeah, maybe they will.
In the postseason, they will. So Chiefs get the win there, a game that didn't mean a whole lot, but they were able to make the big play at the end. Another game that didn't mean a whole lot, Bengals and Browns. Browns get the win 21-16. Not a whole lot to take away from this game. Bengals didn't play their guys in this one. I guess the big news in this one is that what happened after the game is that reports out of Cleveland were that the plan is to have Baker Mayfield as their quarterback next year.
Yeah.
And plans never change.
Yeah. Well, I'm not shocked by that. Yeah. I'm not. I mean,
what do you think they're doing there? What do you think they're trying to say?
Well, I think they're Baker Mayfield's going to be the quarterback unless some other option that is just clearly better hits them in the face. Like, oh, wait, you'll trade Russell Wilson for only this? Okay, maybe we'll do it then. Maybe Baker Mayfield won't be the quarterback. And to me, that's what they're saying. But I don't think they're just going to throw him aside and go, oh, he's done no good here. He's done a lot of good. I do think there's still some qualities to really respect about Baker Mayfield. Again, like we've talked about before, we've seen snippets of like high-quality football play through Baker's career. So we know that he's capable of that. So I expect him to be back. Yeah, he's the number one pick of the organization. And again, there's more issues than him there. He's a little bit of a pain in the butt. We know that. He has been a little inconsistent. There's no doubt. You've heard my concerns about their passing offense. I think it's very bland and normal. That doesn't necessarily help him out. So they got to help that. They got to help him in that department too. I didn't watch a lot of this football game. There was no point to.
Yep.
And I thought it was really smart in the Bengals to rest a lot of their players too. They had a lot of players on the COVID list. And, they played a tough end of the season schedule with some emotional football games. And, they've been hitting people hard, the 49ers, the Chiefs. I mean, they've really played a lot of good physical football teams. I thought that was smart, and I expect them to be a pain in the butt in this AFC playoffs, too.
It'll be fun to see Joe Burrow in the playoffs.
I can't wait. It's our game.
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
That is like, to me, we got the first game, 4:30 on Saturday, wild card Saturday. I think the Bengals can't miss TV. To me, they're one of the more fun teams to watch in all of football because their offense does everything. They got weapons. Burrow's amazing. Their defense has got talent, but will let up some big plays, which leads to good watching on television. So, yeah, that'll be fun to watch, and I'm excited to see what kind of run they can make here.
A team that isn't always as fun to watch, the Tennessee Titans, although they are the number one seed in the AFC. They get the win, a hard-fought win. Over Houston, 28-25 was the final score. Titan Hunter wanted to give a damn okay to Ryan Tannehill.
He says
Tannehill doing his best Houdini made me say damn okay. And I think you think that Tannehill's, you know, he hasn't had that great year that we've, you know, seen maybe in the past where he's made bigger plays, but he's also hasn't had his guys around him
this year,
and they still win.
I feel like that's kind of like been swept under the rug by the national media. Like, oh, I don't know if Tannehill can do it. Well, like, with who? Who's there to do it with him? He's got to have some help. He saw yesterday he had two receivers back. He kind of went off. You know, he's capable of doing that. Their run game is good enough. You know, even without Derrick Henry, they just need the receivers. They do need that. They can't have no Derrick Henry and then no Julio Jones and A.J. Brown on top of that. That's too much to overcome. And he's dealt with that a lot throughout the year. I mean, both those receivers have missed chunks of time, you know, throughout the season. So, yes, I still look at the Titans and go, again, they can go to the Super Bowl. They definitely can. I know they're in the number one seed and they're not sexy, but out of all the teams in the AFC, they're the one team, at least I look at to go. You got a question you want to ask?
No. Yeah. After you're done with your thought.
Okay. They're the only team I look at to go. There's no team I look at to go, that's a mismatch. They're going to have issues. They better hope they don't see that team. All these other teams, I can do that. Like, and again, I can just speak to last night. I mean, last night or yesterday with the Chiefs. The Chiefs. Let's talk about them. We could play the Raiders. Right? Oh, they're going to blow them the fuck out. What if the Chargers got in? Well, it's a coin flip game. There it is. It's that kind of year in the NFL. There's where you could go, one team, you can go, wait, we're all playoff teams. But one team, I could sit there and go, no, this is going to be an issue for this team. And next week, you're going to go, well, yeah, they're better in totality than this team, but this is going to be an issue for them now. And that's where I feel like it plays. In Tennessee, I don't look at any team on the AFC side that I go, that's a concern. If the Tennessee Titans have to play them, that would be an issue. And I feel like I can do that with all these teams in the AFC other than them.
So that's how you see it in the AFC. I'm curious how Las Vegas see it, and specifically our friends over at PointsBet, the official sports book of fantasy sports. So here are the AFC champion odds, and Kansas City, the favorite, plus 190. Titans, number two, plus 320, but right close behind. Buffalo plus 350. And then you got a little bit of a drop off to the Bengals, Patriots, Raiders, and finally the Steelers. But 1 through 3, pretty close.
Fair.
So I guess they kind of agree with you.
They should. You know, again, it's Tennessee could be first round, play whoever, win 20-17. AFC championship game, win 23-21, and it's not that sexy. And then we're in the Super Bowl, and we go, oh, man, the Titans are in the Super Bowl, and they win the Super Bowl 24-20. Like, that's the way they are. That's the way they play. You know. Now, I will say this off of yesterday. Tannehill was awesome, and the play he made at, I believe it was 25-18 at that moment, where he escaped the pocket on 3rd and 5, and that's what our at Titan Hunter is talking about, where he broke a tackle, ran out to the right, and hit Westbrook Akina down the right sideline for a big play. That pretty much locked up the game for them. That was a huge play where the Texans had stolen the momentum. I do want to give Davis Mills some credit. I do. I mean, again, yesterday.
You can make the case that he has had the most productive rookie season of all the quarterbacks, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's played really well. He has had some moments where you go, man. I mean, you know, he understands how to play the. He's Mac Jones light, in my opinion. That's what he is. He's basically a lesser version of a guy at school, knows how to play the position, never really loses control of the football, but not quite as accurate as Mac Jones, not quite as strong as arm as Mac Jones, you know. Athletically, it's close. I think Mac's feet in the pocket are what separates him from there. But, yes, there's been a lot of good from Davis Mills. And certainly he is going to make them think about, wait, do we want to make him the starter as we go forward?
Sure.
Now, the other thing he had an advantage is he had no pressure and no expectations compared to the other rookie quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Where everybody's like, you know, looking at every move they make. Was he worth that pick? Nobody cared about Davis Mills. He got a free pass and had a lot of weeks where it did look shitty, but we didn't care because we were like, ah, it's the Texans. Who gives a shit? And he's a third-round pick,
yeah.
Or second-round pick. Is he a third-round pick? Third-round pick.
Third.
But did a lot of good, and we do got to give him some credit.
And it wasn't like he went into this great situation either.
No.
I mean, no one thought the Houston Texans. There was some weapon. You know, Cooks is a good wide receiver, but it wasn't like anyone was thinking that that offense was going to be one of the
100%,
better ones out there.
100%.
So that is on the AFC side, and a little unusual probably that the team with the bye is not going to be the favorite to win. I bet you're not going to see that very often.
No, you're right. It is very odd.
That the Chiefs do play in the first
round. I get it.
Listen,
if you held
the
gun to my head, would you take the Chiefs right now in the AFC? Like right now, again, not that we're making predictions, but like a points bet, I had to go on a town hall the other day.
Yeah.
And they were like, all right, give me your two Super Bowl predictions. And of course, I tried to be like, man, this is a weird year. You know, I really wanted to see how the brackets shook out. Like, mm-hmm. I want to do my bracket now and pick my Super Bowl winner. I'm hoping maybe we can do that and show that on Wednesday's podcast.
Yeah.
Because I do think it's a matchup year. But they were like, well, give us your Super Bowl. And I wanted to be like, man, I have no fucking clue.
Yeah.
I wanted to go in my whole matchup year conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
But again, if you're going to hold a gun to my head and go, right, you got to pick one team in the AFC, I guess I'll pick Kansas City. You can tell I don't sit here and feel comfortable about it. I just go, they've been there. They got a quarterback. It's magical. They're battle tested. I'll go with them. NFC, it's like the same thing. I go, I guess I'll go with Green Bay. But you've heard me say, I don't think Green Bay is really one of the three most talented teams in the NFC. I don't. But they're consistent and don't mess it up. So I guess if you made me pick, I would say that, like, off the bat. But I'm going to do a true bracket breakdown for Wednesday.
Yeah,
save and you
your
are too.
Actual prediction. I'm not here on Wednesday,
well,
but
next
maybe
Monday
I will do one.
Wednesday.
I'll do it at
do
home.
Do one so
I'll
we can
do
have
it. Home. I will
yeah,
do it at
you can
home.
Mail
we can
mail it in.
We can compare them. So let's compare. I'll text it to you.
Or email it.
I'll email it, or I'll just send it in the mail.
Nice.
Right? I'll put a stamp on it. Timestamp. So that's the AFC. Let's go over look at the NFC. The Packers did lose to my Detroit Lions 37-30, so how good can they be?
Oh, they were biting some kneecaps yesterday.
Aaron Rodgers did that. They played a lot in the first half there, and the Lions still had the lead.
They
so
did.
It's like,
you're right.
But PointsBet has the odds for the NFC winner, too. Kristen, do we have that board? There we go. The bye team is the favorite here. Green Bay plus 170. The Bucks number 2. Rams there 3. And Dallas 4. So you got a big 4 in the NFC.
Big 4, and I don't know why. I mean, I would put the 49ers right up there in that conversation, too.
Mm.
I would have the 49ers in front of Arizona and right in the class of the Dallas and Los Angeles. Listen, anybody out there watching this on YouTube or listening, like, go to PointsBet. 49ers plus 1,200 right now, that to me would be the bet. Like, if you got some extra change to lay around. The value bet right there. I understand Green Bay and Tampa when healthy, like we talk about. Yeah, they're the favorites. I understand that. You give me one like value bet team where I go, hey, I got some extra change to throw around. I'm going to try to hit it big here. The 49ers would be the bet I would look at. I would. Let's just shake it out a little bit. Dallas versus the 49ers. I, of course, think the 49ers can win the football game. I haven't picked this yet, but, you know, they win that football game. Now, okay, more than likely, they're going to be on the road going to Green Bay. Why can't they beat Green Bay? Why? I mean, we saw them go toe-to-toe with them earlier this year, and Green Bay jumped out to like a 20-point lead or a 17-3 lead.
Mm-hmm.
They can go up to Green Bay and beat Green Bay. You're seeing Green Bay can't stop the run. Now you got 49ers and Shanahan coming to town? Great. Whoop-dee-doo. The Packers defense is bleeding into the playoffs here. That's what's scary. You know? So that's my 2 cents about that.
Yeah. Something for the Packers to watch, Mason Crosby.
Yeah, a little
normally,
shaky, right?
Yeah, normally rock solid.
Right.
He's been a little shaky this year, but
no doubt.
Not a whole lot to take away from this game, as we said, the Packers, although they did play their defense quite a bit in this game, all throughout the game. Lions get the win, and there were a lot of people that were like, what are the Lions doing? If they lose that game, they get the number one pick. I have an unproven theory, though, that in a year where there's no slam dunk number one, which I think we agree there is no slam dunk number one.
Doesn't seem like there is number one
in the
right
draft
now.
This year, no quarterback up there for sure. It's better to have the number two pick because being the number one pick puts pressure on you as a player. you have to live up to being the number one pick.
Sure.
Or being the number two pick, you don't have that pressure.
Does all of it. It puts the pressure on the player, right? Puts the pressure on the organization, because, like, you got the pick of the litter. You can take whoever you want.
Right.
And as soon as that person falters, they're going, they could have picked anybody they wanted, and they picked that guy.
Right.
You know, so there is there. I think the win's more important than the draft position. Everybody stop acting like we all know how this is going to exactly play out in the draft, all right? I mean, we've seen a few years in a row where the first corner off the board is like the fourth best corner in the draft. You know, again, the best defensive player in last year's draft was at pick number 11. It wasn't even close. He's the best defensive player. Michael Parsons was there at 11. So, again, it to me, the win, the building of momentum into the offseason, giving the guys that you know are going to be back in your team to go, like, man, we did some positive things and kind of played well at the end of the year. Like, I believe in my coaches. Like, that to me is more important than the number one pick. There's no quarterback that were sitting there that were going, oh, my gosh, he's going to be the number one pick. You know, Aiden Hutchinson, the kid from Michigan, the defensive end from Oregon, they sound like they're in the conversation. I have no total grasp of the draft conversation quite yet. But either way, yeah, let's not, like, we make too big of a deal about, oh, the number one pick. I understand it when there's, like, a marquee quarterback and that becomes a conversation. I get
right.
it. But after that, you know, again, who knows? The Lions might get there and go, wait, the top four guys in the draft, we don't need these positions. Let's trade down a few picks. Wait, good thing we lost that game at the end of the year. You know, so that to me is where just, you know, everybody pump the brakes on that stuff. I would rather have the win if I'm the ownership of the
sure.
Lions. I would.
And I think the Lions are maybe the youngest, or especially in the top
yeah.
five.
Yeah.
Youngest teams in the NFL, so they've got some young players they're building with, and yeah, I totally agree. Even in a year where there is a slam dunk number one, it could be Trevor Lawrence, where now after year one, you're like, oh, was it
a slam dunk?
Or
yeah.
Tua, tank for Tua.
Exactly right. I mean, damn, we've had a lot of them like that. I mean, gosh, I mean, I could go through the list and really get on people and go, oh, you told me this guy was the number one pick in the draft, and he can't even play in the NFL. Like, not only, mm-hmm. So, yes, we don't know how that's going to all unfold.
But I can tell you one thing.
What?
We are supported by Under Armour, Chris.
We are.
Just like us, Under Armour wants to give you an edge.
They are focused on performing better and taking their game to the next level, Ahmed.
Everything from running shoes that propel you forward to hoop shoes that give you insane grip. They even make hoodies that reflect energy.
Do they make a hoodie that doesn't have to have one co-host kiss the other co-host's feet? I don't know.
No, they
We're
don't.
Not just about the end results, winning or glory.
Under Armour is about the hard work, the dedication, the cycle of training, competing, and recovering.
And we give you advantages,
yes.
but not shortcuts.
The only way is through. For one more podcast, right? Are they with
now.
Us tomorrow? Are they with
yeah.
us Wednesday?
They're with
Pete?
Us for Wednesday.
And Thursday. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Two more pods. Here we go.
And maybe after they see the end of this podcast, they'll want to stick around. Two more games here that we have to do just
yeah.
because we always promised.
Do we have to?
We just for 30 seconds. Vikings defeat the Bears. And in a game that both Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman, the GM and coach of the Vikings, and Matt Nagy, and Ryan Pace, the coach and GM of the Bears, that was their last game.
Yeah, I mean, it was the quadfecta there, right?
the
I guess
quadfecta.
Basically, they're all out of here. We've had it with all of you. I understand. I think on all accounts, you know, here, listen, I'm sick of hearing, like, you know, Matt Nagy. How many years was he the coach of the Chicago Bears? Was this year four, Pete, or five? I don't know why. For some reason, I'm five crept into my brain, and maybe I'm wrong. Now people go, well, look at Matt Nagy. They made the playoffs, you know. Two out of the last 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Like, I get that. But, like, those teams were set up to be, like, deep into the playoff team. That's where the context matters. Those teams were worthy of being in NFC championship games or being better than what they were in the regular season. They performed at a lesser level than what they were as a team. That's why he's getting fired. That's what it really is. So, yeah, I'm not shocked by either one. I'm not. You know, again, I think the Vikings thing ran its course. It was a great run by Spielman and Zimmer. You know, they were, of course, relevant in the playoffs, a pain in the butt for a long period of time here. But, hey, it comes a time where it's just time to make a change. The organization needs something new. The coaches need something new. I'm not surprised at all. But, hey, the Bears, be interesting to see where they go. With Justin Fields, a quarterback, that's certainly a different situation than the Vikings, where you know you're kind of stuck with Kirk Cousins one more year. No matter who comes into town, and I think that, you know, will lead to two different coaching searches by both organizations.
We didn't really talk about Vic Fangio with the Broncos
yeah.
being fired there. So you got Fangio fired, you got Zimmer fired, you got Nagy fired, and you got Flores fired. Of those four, do you think any of them are head coaches next year?
To me, the one Flores is the one that I think could end up being like a little bit of a hot commodity. You know, Flores is, I know, impressed people throughout, like him interviewing for jobs the first time around. Mm-hmm. He's a real football coach. He's going to have a real plan of attack for what he thinks the football team should do and how he's going to coach it. So I wouldn't think he is a guy that has, out of all those you just mentioned, by far is going to be the guy that's looked at maybe for another job right here, right now. You know, the other thing, too, you just look at it and go, you know, I think it's a weird year where there's no, like, just, oh, wow, we got to have these coaching candidates to come. It's I think everybody's got a pretty long list right now and doesn't really know where to go. There's no those slam dunk two or three coordinators where you just go, yes, that's the guy. I love Leftwich, no doubt about it. You know, Bieniemy, what he's done, certainly serving his time there and doing a lot of good things. You know, Leslie Frazier, the job he's done with the Bills defense. I mean, there's a lot out there. You know, but I don't know if there's that one that you just go, wow, certainly not. And the Bears are going to have to make it all about Justin Fields and where they want to go with that situation. Out of all those ones you mentioned, though, man, the Dolphins one's the one I look at. That job, the Dolphins have everything except, they need a few offensive linemen who are still young and getting better. And the quarterback situation is dicey still. I mean, it's dicey. I don't know if the next coach comes in, he's going to have to be like, no, you have to make it work with Tua. I wonder if that's going to go down. I don't know. Because I would have told you, I would have thought yesterday was Tua's last game as a Dolphin. Mm. Like I would have thought that would be it. But now this happens, I don't know where it goes.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. We'll track all that. There are a lot of pieces. Yeah. And Zimmer and Nagy and Fangio probably will all be coordinators if they want to be.
If they want to be.
Next season. Because they're still valued and coveted in those roles.
Yeah, Zimmer and Fangio are still phenomenal defensive minds.
Last game, Washington defeats the Giants. It was the Clown Show organization beating the Giants by 15 with that whole Joe Judge thing. And the Giants, Pete notes here, ran a quarterback sneak on 2nd-and-11 and 3rd-and-9 from inside their 5. WTF Monday.
It was a disaster. The Giants were a disaster down the stretch. Just nothing was a good look. You know, Jake Fromm at quarterback, come on. They have no chance. Jake Fromm is no disrespect to the human. I know he's a nice guy, but, like, he's a third-string quarterback in the NFL. That's what he is. You know, that's just, yeah, the way the Giants look down the stretch, horrible. The Washington football team, nothing special either there yesterday. But, I mean, I think they realized pretty early, like, we can kind of coast through this one and still win it. And they get the win. And Washington's another team I look at and go, you know, they're not far off. Ron Rivera has built something there a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, I would think they're going to be in the market for a quarterback. I would think that happens. You know, they're just a few players away at each position, you know, on both sides of the ball, too, to where I go, man, Washington could be a major player next year. They're not that far away.
Reports are that Dave Gettleman is retiring, quote-unquote, but Joe Judge is staying. What do you think about that?
A lot
of calls for Joe Judge for this to be his final year.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get it. The end of the year here just was all over the place. But I don't think the Mariners are that type of owner or don't want to run that type of organization where they're looking to cycle through coaches every 2 or 3 years. I think they believe in Joe Judge with what these, you know, his big picture goal and what he's trying to instill there. But, you know, he did himself no favors with some of the things he said to the media this week and the week before that. Yeah, they got a lot of work to do in the Giants organization. There's a lot of questions throughout.
Reports are in that Pete has never been more depressed about the Giants' future.
I know. He's trust me, I hear it all the time. I get it. I mean, I'm concerned too. I am. You know, I'm a believer in Joe Judge. I know I'm the minority there. And I can also say, honestly, the way he's looked the last few weeks, it's not done him any favors. It's not. Yeah, we'll see where it goes. They got a lot of decisions to make. Daniel Jones will be the first thing they got to do, and they really got to flip around their roster in some certain areas to give themselves a fighting chance.
All right, we've already put the Giants to rest and the Washington football team to rest. Now it's time to put four more teams to rest, and the only way we can do that, the only way we know how to do that.
There's only one way.
Requiem with a team. Kristen's got the music there. So four teams we say goodbye to. I'll start here with the Indianapolis Colts. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Here lie the Indianapolis Colts. It's a team that was close to its goals, even though they did have some holes. It is a shame, in the last game, they should have started Nick Foles, right? Somehow found a way.
Something back to Foles and Wentz again.
Yeah, right? Right.
Very nice of you.
Like, we should have figured out a way to do that. Here lie the Los Angeles Chargers, all right? Justin Herbert's one of the best around. One day, he could wear the crown. Oh, my God, don't look now. I don't even know how. They just missed another fourth down.
Yes, way to go.
How did they do that?
Oh, it was amazing.
Not even playing anymore.
Good job. Way to add that in there.
Here lie the Baltimore Ravens. Good year for them. You know, a lot of injuries here.
Yeah.
This team often had to regroup. Injuries threw them for a loop. Especially Lamar's, he had plenty of scars, and sometimes he just needed to poop. Right? Yeah. You think maybe that
I guess so, happened. Yes.
Yeah, that's something. A rumor.
Yep. I was shocked at how much time he did miss down here.
Right?
Yeah, I was. I mean, again, I'm not trying to judge, just didn't look like the most egregious ankle sprain I'd ever seen. You know, surprised that he at least wasn't able to play yesterday.
And finally, here lie the New Orleans Saints. This season was not very nice. It was like a bad roll of the dice. Unlucky they were. It's been a blur. I mean, Sean Payton got COVID twice. I mean, that's crazy,
that is,
right?
That is, seriously.
I mean, you talk about all the unlucky things you could have happen.
That, players hurt, that? Quarterback situation.
Hurt, Taysom Hill again there.
Holy crap. You're right. They
Sean
had to deal with a lot.
Back, though, doing well. So that's good. We put those teams to rest. We have the playoff teams now, and we will put the playoff teams to rest. But one of those playoff teams that's not done yet, never did a requiem for, the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's finally happening. Neither of us wants this, but I'm gonna celebrate this moment for Steeler Nation.
Oh, look at Christopher Jones here. I like it.
He goes, I can't stop smiling. I have been hoping for this from the beginning. At Ahmed Fareed, do not be scared. Enjoy the moment. I know I will. So I'm going to enjoy this moment.
Okay.
Even though I don't want this. I don't want you kissing my shoe.
Yeah.
You're not a germaphobe, but you're conscious of it, right?
So I definitely am. I am borderline germaphobe sometimes. So no joke.
So now you're going to kiss a foot. So I'm going to put my foot up here.
Yep.
Kristen's got kiss cam all framed up. So Kristen, is that in the proper spot? Okay. All right, do you know how you're going to do this, Chris?
Like, you're a nice guy, though, at least. Like, I would have definitely taken my shoe off and been like, you got to kiss my bearskin shoe.
Yeah, neither of us win there.
All right, here we go.
All right,
I'm getting
here we
down
go.
On my knees.
Here we go. It's happening.
Here we
if
go.
If you're watching
you
on YouTube, you're about
here
to see it. Oh, my gosh.
Hold on, let me just say
this just doesn't feel good.
Yep. Oh, I'm being filmed. Hey. Yeah. This is your fault, Mike Tomlin. This is your fault. You did this to me. How dare you be such a good coach?
All right.
But you're seriously mad respect to the Steelers.
Mad respect.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here it is. Okay, there it is.
Chris. There's the kiss. And then I'm going to untie your shoe, too, because
okay,
you're a jerk. All right?
And what do we have? Gabby? Is Gabby here?
Gabby's got it.
So
Gabby's filming
is here.
It so we can put it on social
she's,
media.
No, she videotaped it, and she's got mouthwash for you.
Oh,
so there it is.
Thank you so much. Thank
so
you,
in
Gabby.
Case you needed
that.
To wash that out. Out there, brush your teeth, which some people only do one time a day.
Yes.
Done. Yeah. And here's the weird thing. If you want to know from my perspective there,
yeah.
I could feel your lips
yeah, you
on
can
my
feel
feet.
Them? Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Very
good.
Strange.
Feel yourself blessed. I mean, feel blessed, okay?
Honestly, that might have been the first time in my life where lips have been close to my feet.
I'm good. All right, good. So that's good, right? I didn't, you know, I cussed one foot. That was all I needed to do, right?
And Pete, great decision on doing it at the end of the podcast because it would have been awkward to do the whole podcast after that moment, right? It would have been like, how do you get past that?
Yeah, right. Can't believe it. Unbelievable.
Didn't taste like anything.
Oh, unbelievable. And I was sitting there going, oh, my gosh. The tie football game might save me. I'm
yes.
sitting there getting ready for the post-game show going,
another element
this
to
might
the
tie, and I might not actually have to kiss his feet. This is going to be amazing.
Do you ever think back and go, why did I say that?
No.
Why did I go out on a limb and say, like, you've never said that you'd kiss anyone's feet for any other reason, but the one time you do.
I know. Well, I guess that's karma a little bit. you know me. I'm never shy about giving my opinions or making a stand about a football team.
Yeah.
I really didn't see it with the Steelers. I really didn't. And honestly, I'm still not sure I see it, but they're here. It really is amazing. It really is. I felt confident when I said it. I did, especially after that was what, right after the Bengals actually just stomped them into the ground?
I think so,
I think
yeah.
It was that game where I just went, it's over. They're out of here.
What would you do if the Steelers beat the Chiefs this weekend? Don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it. But what would you do?
I don't know. I don't know what I would do. I'm not going to say anything right now. I'm not. In this type of year where we've seen teams do crazy things, we've seen Mahomes and the Chiefs be stupid, I'm not making any more proclamations there. I'm not.
Good call. You will make your predictions, though, on Wednesday,
yes,
right?
Yeah, okay. I want to do the whole bracket. I really do. I'm going to do that on Wednesday. And then, of course, Wednesday, What the Fuck Happened podcast, we'll break down some of these things that we saw, you know, from Week 18. Maybe even a little bit more of a look forward. You know, again, in the AFC, the wild card weekend here is all rematch. It's all rematches. They've all played each other. So that's, I think, one interesting element. We got something to look to there to go, hey, we've seen this matchup before. Of course, the Patriots, Bills twice. Bengals beat the Raiders in Las Vegas. And we got the Cardinals, Rams. I know the Bucks, Eagles. Or no, I'm thinking about AFC. And then because we got the Steelers, Chiefs.
Hey, save it for Wednesday.
Blabbering now. Check us out on Wednesday. All right, we'll break down football and we'll do the bracket. Peace out. Ahmed, you the man. Fuck your feet. All right, I've had enough of you. Peace out. Clap it up.